Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to Get the Table, another wrestling roundtable discussion podcast with myself, Adam Wilborn, and one of the Dadley Boys, Michael Sidgwick from What Culture, here to discuss another burning wrestling issue. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts. We review Raw, SmackDown, NXT, AEW Dynamite, pay-per-views. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on wrestle culture. As I said, though, joined by Michael Sidgwick. And, sir, we are gathered here to... We are socially distanced here today, although we weren't the other day in the office, and that was... Well, we were abiding by the rules, but we were in the same room, what I mean by that is. Anyway, we are here to discuss whether or not AEW has a rankings problem. And before we dive into the sort of pros and cons of this, Michael Sidgwick, why are rankings so important? In other words, why WWE ruin this for everyone?
I want to make something explicitly clear before we begin this podcast, because it would be just my bloody luck for this to be clipped out of context when I've been the goddamn mascot for this promotion that I mostly think is awesome. The ranking system is crucial. Mm-hmm. I am not calling at all for them to get rid of the ranking system. The ranking system does far, 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 far more good than bad. I just think there are certain other factors that are happening in parallel that is making the ranking system feel like something approaching a cause and solution to AEW's problems, okay? Not that I think there are many. I just think a good thing could be even better. Just want to make that explicitly clear. Now, to answer your question, the reason why AEW have a ranking system is the sort of thing that if you were to like tell a non-wrestling fan this, they would think, oh, it should be the norm, shouldn't it? Mm. And I would say to them, well, yes, but you see, there's this other company, right? There's this other company. What this other company, and we know that they are called WWE. What this other company have done, have somehow extracted the most beautiful thing about professional wrestling, right? And removed every wrinkle of drama from it. Every wrinkle of meaning, of purpose from it, was something called 50-50 booking. The reason why I love professional wrestling more than absolutely anything else at its best, right, is because at its core, it's rubbish how the wider population just thinks it's a stupid fake thing when they'll watch superheroes and monsters or dinosaurs or whatever. It's like, that's not real either. Mm. That disconnect will always just kill me. Pro wrestling at its absolute very best is the very best thing ever because it takes what is, in a lot of people's minds, the very best thing ever, and it is able to work it in sports. Mm. I get anxious watching sport because I'm emotionally invested in sport, as a lot of people are, and I happen to have picked two teams, both from birth. Newcastle United are my club team, England are my national team, and in my lifetime, neither have won anything. When they get close to winning something, it is magic. When they fail, invariably, it is heartbreaking. Now, professional wrestling is genius because it takes the athletic thrill, just this inimitable athletic thrill of really gifted athletes doing incredible things, and it's able to manufacture the outcomes, right, so that your guy gets to win. And it's amazing. When you see someone like Hangman Page, who I've emotionally invested in the character, finally realize the thing that he was not capable of doing, but only in his own head, it's going to be magical, because that's what pro wrestling is. In order to achieve working this inimitable drama, the actual wins have to matter. In WWE, the very latest example of this not mattering for some reason that I will never get my head around is Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin have a program. They trade some wins. One guy wins one week, the other guy wins the next. And it turns out they both suck because Jeff Hardy, who's been in purgatory, decides, I'm just going to win the guy. I'm going to beat the guy who won the feud. Nothing matters. It is incredible how bad this is, to a point that I still struggle to explain the logic or lack thereof behind it. AEW, in glorious, beautiful, crucial contrast, grasps that wins and losses matter. This is visualized in the ranking system. This ranking system is a framework that allows you to invest in a performer, make them feel like winners, and make all of the narrative foundation for everything that happens make a beautiful sense. Sometimes it could be heartbreaking when Hangman Page falls at the last. His time isn't here yet. Sometimes it's glorious when you see someone like Orange Cassidy, who you also are meant to love, ascend through the ranks, and it's this incredible dissonance of, I thought he was just a popular meme guy and I liked him, but he's also a winner. Mm. Oh, he might actually win. The rankings are crucial, but there are cons to it too. What do you, like, when AEW had, like, the ranking system, were you like me and thought, why doesn't every promotion does this? It's not WWE, it's ruined. In my eyes, not that they weren't already before, but even New Japan, there is so much failing upwards that I struggle to watch New Japan because these rankings are so important.
That's exactly what I was about to say in terms of introducing into our lexicon the phrase failing or losing upwards. The amount, you know, we talked about it with Gargano in NXT. The one that immediately pops into my head for some reason is Samoa Joe. He dropped the US title and then suddenly was in a world title feud with Kofi a year or two ago, whenever that was. And time has no meaning anymore. But yeah, it's inexplicable that other companies don't have what is relatively straightforward. Like, especially when you've got shows, and we'll get on to Dark, but like, it's not like, oh, bloody hell, we need to give so-and-so loads of wins, and we've only got 6 weeks of TV before. You've got Dark. You've got Dark Elevation. You've got, you know, and, you know, if necessary, if WWE wanted to do that, you've got Main Event. You've got bloody all these other shows that you could hoy them on and just put, you know, if you want to do that. I'm going to talk a little bit about UFC later on. But I think it speaks volumes, and it's an indictment of WWE in particular, that a lot of the time, as a fan of both things, UFC books better than WWE, and they can't control the outcomes. They just go, right, you two get in there. It'd be really nice if this guy won, because then we've got this wonderful story that leads to a title match and, you know, selling out, you know, arenas and stuff. But they can't do anything about it. Someone can go in there, we've seen recently, they'll just shatter their leg or, you know, get a fluke knockout. They can't control it. WWE can. And they just go, oh, who cares? Anyway, the pros are there and they're obvious. And no doubt you'll reference them more as we continue. What are the flip side to this? What are the cons of the ranking system?
Well, this is kind of the impetus behind the topic that I pitched for this podcast. Recently, it's becoming a little bit irritating in terms of the broader quality of the show, that these rankings exist. And what I mean by that is, because these rankings exist, because they are adhered to, because they drive storylines, it means that there are certain wrestlers who really, like, I'm not campaigning for every wrestler to be on the same show every single week, right? I feel like the way modern discourse is now is that if you fail to caveat a point that probably should speak for itself, someone will counter argue with it, often in bad faith. I'm not suggesting for a moment that we see the same roster on TV every single week. In fact, that's impossible because we see that in WWE, and there's no momentum, there's no ascendancy. You just can't have any meaningful framework when you have the same group of people. It needs to be a mix for narrative reasons, for like just boredom reasons or lack thereof. But the issue with the ranking system is that because you have in this system a set number of singles guys or tag teams who are going to be in the mix at a certain point, you can't then feature certain stars heavily, in, at least in singles matches on your show, because you can't beat them. You don't want to beat them. They're stars. But at the same time, it's not their turn to win, because if you give them so many matches that they have to win, then they are going to go up the rankings when they're not ready yet. That's why when there's a babyface champion, a lot of the heels go up and vice versa. But when there's a heel champion, does that necessarily mean you shouldn't have an absolutely killer heel singles guy not on your TV working great matches or doing great promos to build the great matches because there's a heel champion? There's an inherent flaw in this ranking system and the way that it shapes the storytelling that is becoming more and more apparent the more and more bloated this roster gets. On the AEW Preview podcast, which is out of date now, but why not listen to it anyway? Support your favorite podcasters wherever you get your podcasts from. We were talking about Andrade, and the first thing we clocked was, and again, I would rather they worked around this rather than just destroyed the system.
Yeah, it's a nice problem to have, isn't it?
It's a lovely problem to have, indeed. That's the perfect way of putting it. But like, what does Andrade do now when they're on? And I know that AEW isn't totally strict with babyface and heel alignments, but at the same time, heel versus heel just simply doesn't really work. You can do babyface versus babyface. You can do tweener versus tweener, provided that tweeners are good and not just intense dickheads who think they're hard, because that's really entertaining. But what does Andrade do now? He's debuted. He has to be presented as a star, otherwise he's just a guy. He has to wrestle like one as well, but that's another conversation. If he wins and wins and wins, he's got Miro and he's got Kenny Omega there. In the meantime, MJF, I don't think, has had a single singles match on Dynamite this year. And I don't think that's a good thing necessarily. I understand. And here's the thing with AEW. What they do is they mostly balance the ranking system with grudge match stakes. So they sit quite easily alongside one another, so that you can understand why MJF, his whole MO is, I'm entitled to be champion. It's my birthright. I'm a prodigy. You can preoccupy him with a really well-crafted, intricate grudge storyline to remove him from the rankings so that it doesn't feel like he's not a star. He's still profiled. He's still doing mostly very entertaining things when this program that he's in at the minute doesn't descend into sports entertainment bollocks. But at the same time, the fact that he has to do this because it's not his time to be a champion or challenging for a title in the booking plans means that you don't get a proven ratings draw in MJF in a singles match on Dynamite. We've been wondering why it's taken them so long to do MJF versus Sammy Guevara or MJF versus one of Santana and Ortiz to build to the table wars, like the blood and guts, these stadium stampedes. And the reason being is that those wins count in this promotion. So instead, you get a lot of angles and promo segments. And the idea is that because there's so many of them, you're not going to cut a world-class promo every week. MJF and Chris Jericho are so good, right, that they somehow contrive to do this most weeks. When it gets repetitive, it starts to really drag down the quality of these promos and these angles and how repetitive they are. I'm just thinking that with MJF not working enough singles matches for a star of his caliber, for Andrade feeling like he's already got some blockades, there's a creeping problem with AEW in that the ranking system, as fundamentally important as it is, as a foundation for everything, is starting to become like an issue.
Yeah, I think it's a very, very valid point. I will point out, as we often have to, we're recording this on Friday afternoon before Dynamite, so obviously things are subject to change, particularly the rankings that I've got in front of me. They are as of June 9th. But you look at like the women's rankings, for example, you've got obviously Britt Baker as champion, number one in the rankings, Thunder Rosa, that's an obvious match to go to, take on T, Nyla Rose, Hikaru Shida, Layla Hirsch, then making up the top five there. Men's rankings, Kenny Omega, Miro, obviously, as world champion, TNT champion, respectively. Jungle Boy, Adam, Hangman Page, Darby Allin, John Moxley, Orange Cassidy on there. But you say, like you say, you mentioned Andrade, my mind immediately turns to someone like Jade Cargill, who for different reasons, they want to present her because, oh my God, look at her. But you can't have her win, you know, five, ten matches, either on Dynamite or Dark, because then you're suddenly saying she's in the world title picture. And I love her, but she ain't ready for that yet, is she?
Wilborn, that is the perfect example. I'm glad you thought about it because I didn't. Yeah, with Jade Cargill, you've got, Jesus Christ, there's a massive bee out my window. I could have gone. It wasn't jerking off. Like, it wasn't. That's insider baseball for people who are listening to this for the first time. But, oh, God. They're canny. They are, you know, incredibly valuable species, but I just want to get stung. Sorry for that. Jade Cargill. Yet this is a problem, right? And again, the ranking system kind of collides almost with certain things that happen on the show and certain features of the company. And it just creates problems as well as like investment in storylines. Jay Cargill is a beast of a performer. She looks fantastic. She improves each time she's in the ring. She is still incredibly raw and green, right? How do you get better at wrestling?
Mm.
The answer is you wrestle more and more and more. You put in your reps, your reps, your reps, your reps, your reps. The issue is that she can't lose. Look at her. It's bad that she loses. It's unconvincing if she loses. She will not appear like the star that she looks like if she loses. She has to win the matches that she has to work to get better. But in winning all of those matches, that gets her to the top of the rankings, and the champion is a heel in Dr. Britt Baker. I'm not saying that Jade Cargill couldn't play babyface, but for right now, she's nowhere near realized her potential. So again, the level of experience in certain divisions and the fact that you can't beat people, but the fact that you need to keep profiling this woman who's really, really talented, it's just all kind of, the ranking system is just a bit of a problem. And I don't know how to solve it, which is going to screw up your next question, by the way.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at UH1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the rankings and how some people get to where they are. Because obviously, you know, Jungle Boy, for example, won the Casino Battle Royal. He's got a world title shot off the back of that. He's also the number one at the time of recording on the men's rankings with an 8-1 record. And you look down like at the tag team rankings, Varsity Blondes, number one ranked, 13-4 record. And that is because of, as we alluded to earlier, the wins that they can rack up on Dark. How much does a win on Dark count and the way that they utilize that show?
Well, the problem is that a Dark win is considered equal to a Dynamite win, and that's just, it's a work. And again, I will say this, it's so nice of them to make the effort. Like, it legitimately is, but if we hold this company to the highest of standards, and we should, a dark win counts as much as a win on Dynamite. I mean, the system hasn't been explained, which is perhaps another problem, but it doesn't really bother me because you can infer from what you see that it works, even if they're working it, if that makes any sense at all. But a dark win in canon means as much as a Dynamite win, which is bollocks because it doesn't resonate with any credibility because not enough people watch Dark. Dynamite's your flagship. And more to the point, they don't show footage of the Dark victories on Dynamite. I'm begging. In the case of SCU, right, just if you did it on one or two Dynamites of maybe a little rundown segment with Tony Schiavone saying, here's some guys to look at on Dark who are gathering impressive winning streaks. It feels like it's all happening in secret. SCU won a lot of matches on Dark, hence why they got to the top and hence why they did the storyline. But it didn't really... If it's tree falls in the wood and no one's around to hear it, does it make a sound? If someone wins on Dark, does anyone get over? They need to start doing some kind of little one-minute segments fortnightly on Dynamite, saying here's who you need to keep an eye on in our ranking system. They should do a little rankings rundown every single week, and they don't have to, like, a women's one week, flash of the men's on one, flash of the women's next week, and like a video recap of who's winning matches on Dark and the tag team division, for example. Because at the minute, it just feels like if you're, and I'm not saying they should pander to idiots to do constant recap, but a little bit will go a long way in this regard. Tell people why SCU are good. Show them, more to the point, why they're good and what the stakes are for this match on Dynamite. As good as the payoff was, they did the build, they just didn't show it.
Yeah.
And again, as you said perfectly, it's a nice problem to have. But yeah, the Dark thing is an issue, and I implore anyone from AEW who may or may not listen to this podcast to just tell TK, look, TK, start having Tony Schiavone. I mean, the thing is like live matches generate the most ratings and they sustain the most attention. Whenever you do video package, no matter how blinding they are, people will just go, all right, okay, it's not a wrestling match. That's the reality. I don't like it any more than anybody else does because I prefer promos and video packages to inform how much I like matches. But statistically, people just like watching matches right now. But Tony Schiavone's face, how could you turn that off the telly?
Yeah, and I have a little bit of an idea, and I remind me of this because I'm going to inevitably forget when I actually get around to it. But as an idea of how to present that, I've had a little bit of an idea just as you were talking there, and we'll get to that in due course. But you know, you look at the rankings, and you know, for the most part, if not pretty much all, I think there's not very many like exceptions aside from someone naming someone on the rankings. I think Darby Allin did it for a while. You just, you know, they're not necessarily the number one contender, but I want to face this person, for example.
And I don't mind that if they're fourth.
Exactly. It informs it.
Avalon, is it? Poor no. Peter Avalon.
Yeah. But what I was going to ask you is whether or not you think AEW could take some sort of influence from UFC. And what I mean by that is, I'm a man who enjoys the UFC. Again, they have no control over things, and they wouldn't be able to turn around and say, well, this guy's lost four matches on the bounce, so he's going to fight for the world title at the next pay-per-view or whatever. But what I mean by it is, and the problem we have is the problem that you and I often revisit along with Hamflet, and it's the bad faith takes. It's the people online or wherever it may be who suddenly decide, well, you know, it to harken back to, I thought this was meant to be sports-based programming. I thought, you know, all that. Oh, I thought you weren't meant to have heels and baby faces. Well, you need some tropes of this to make this actually a bleeding blue register. So don't take this as like me trying to undermine the entire ranking system. But what I was going to say is for the most part, people who get title shots are usually the number one contender, or maybe sometimes they'll have like the number two contender if the number one contender is injured, or you've already had that fight, or maybe you're going to have like the champ versus number two and one and three fight, and then that leads to the next, whatever it may be. But on occasion, the first obvious example that leaps into my mind is when Michael Bisping was middleweight champion, I want to say, in the UFC. George St. Pierre came out of retirement, one of the greatest fighters of all time, and they didn't go, well, you got to rack up six wins against some, you know, journeymen, and then we'll give you a title shot. They went, well, the money fight is this new middleweight champion or not new, he defended it, but anyway, this champion versus George St. Pierre. Could AEW take influence from that in saying, you know, I'm not necessarily saying hotshot Christian Cage just because he's the shiny new thing to the title. But for example, if dream scenario, Daniel Bryan shows up, not to bugger up all the other bookings we've had, you know, fantasy booking we've had. Daniel Bryan came in. Would you be all right with them going, well, Daniel Bryan's here, Kenny Omega's champion, that's the match to have? Like, is that feasible or would that just bugger everything up?
Well, I don't know, because if you're bringing someone in like Daniel Bryan, he's going to be a babyface no matter how hard you try. And him accepting the title match would feel like a heel entitled maneuver. Like
jumping over people.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So it's, again, it's a problem. Because what the ranking system does is it provides as much luxury almost as it takes away. So it is difficult in that regard. And it's funny, you just mentioned Christian, which brings me on to another point, is that it was immediately obvious when he held up the title that, oh, Christian's going to get a title shot. They plant seeds, and 9 times out of 10, those seeds will grow. The problem then is, and I know they are often, not often, but they sometimes are very good at like subverting everything and creating another layer of drama. Like when Hangman Page lost to Brian Cage, that was such an inspired booking decision, because what it did was that loss not only informed the short, medium and long-term world title picture, and it dovetailed into a feud with Brian Cage properly. But what that did was it made you think, oh, Christ, maybe it's not quite as predictable as Dynamite can sometimes be. Because now, like Christian Cage, do you think he's got any chance in hell of losing to Angelico? We're recording this, by the way, on Friday.
No
chance that he was losing to Seidel. And it's good because when you watch Premier League football, that's just the sport I follow the most. You don't expect... like, oh, who's going to win? Is it going to be Sheffield United? Or is it going to be Manchester City? Like, the reason why Manchester City's beat Sheffield United is because these are realistic outcomes that are just going to happen because of so many different factors. This should happen in wrestling, particularly if you mutants, I'm trying to be better, I don't really get that pissed off on Twitter anymore, but if you mutants want it to actually be sports-based, you can't have that take, and that's getting a bit predictable in the same breath. You're just not allowed. But at the same time, because they've planted the destination, and because your average AEW fan is intelligent enough to grasp, all right, okay, well, that means they're getting a title match, but it doesn't have to happen next week. Virtually every single Christian Cage match that follows his way up the rankings is incredibly predictable. I personally have no problem with that, but maybe the ratings tell a different story. Who knows?
Yeah, it's akin to building up a boxer's record. Like, I saw Anthony Joshua and he was up and coming, and they just bring blokes in and you'd be like, they just got him off the street. And he's just like, oh, he's had his head taken off by him. But it's to get those numbers up to justify saying it's someone's O's got to go. It's 20-0 Anthony Joshua versus this other guy who's actually got a fairly decent record. Well, go on then, Sige. Nice, easy problem for you. We all know it's Sweet TK listens. Solve this rankings problem for him for AEW.
I would just like to reiterate that despite the title of the podcast, it's not really a problem, except it's creating a few one. The crux of this is that you want all of your best talent on television who are going to give you the best matches, the best promos, the best angles. You don't want them on every week, but you want them on at least every 3 weeks. Santana and Ortiz, MJF, even Jungle Boy, like, they're not on the show enough, right? This wasn't a problem. I will always hold the 6 weeks before Revolution 2019.
Yeah.
The absolute pinnacle, not only of this promotion, but of professional wrestling itself. I can't recall a time I was ever higher on it. Everything had meaning. The way these goddamn storylines built and built to these peaks. The match quality. You even got the surprise factor of, all right, okay, you think you've had your mind blown, pick it all up, put it back together, because Pac versus Orange Cassidy is happening 3 days away before you ever thought it was possible. Blow your mind all over again. The thing that the key difference now between AEW Revolution 2019 build and the AEW of June 2021 is the roster in June 2021 is absolutely enormous. And in terms of flagship programming, that is canonical and everyone cares most about, is still only 2 hours. The third hour, hopefully, will change things to a degree. But even then, your roster's accommodated in terms of not everything feels rushed and frenetic and not everything feels samey in terms of the run-ins and the interferences. But it's still got a problem of too many wrestlers, too few ranking spots, too few titles. And the other effect is the fact that they're not just giving every Tom, Dick, and Harry a title shot, preserves the prestige of the titles. Basically, in doing everything right is kind of impossible. And I think this is becoming a little bit apparent. I think the answer, Will Bourne, in terms of getting your best guys on TV, and hopefully this is going to get answered imminently. They have all but confirmed this is going to happen. The only thing they haven't dropped is the when, is the introduction of a trios title. That way, you do get MJF and FTR on telly every other week in a match because they could be the trios champions.
Mm.
You could get FTR and Sammy Guevara. Like, Sammy Guevara's had a criminally few singles matches on Dynamite, and he's another one to add to the list. He can team with Santana and Ortiz in trios matches.
Yeah.
They've got so many stables that not only is that in itself becoming a little bit of a problem in terms of the formatting of the show and how certain segments bleed into the next and how there's so much bustling activity, but they don't wrestle enough. They are there to create schmozzy angles to set up matches, and it's starting to wear a bit thin. If they remove the schmoz and had a reason to fight that wasn't to build to a tag or a singles or a group match, and they had a trios championship, I honestly think that is the solution at this point. Ricky Starks, before his injury, was the guy we would always say, why isn't he on Dynamite Wrestling at least every 3 weeks at a minimum? When he, I don't think he had a singles match on Dynamite in 2021 until he had the match with Paige, snake bit though it was. He can work with Powerhouse Hobbs and Hook and have trios matches and have a reason to exist that isn't a post-match angle or an interference, both of which are wearing a bit thin. I think the solution here to the bloated roster, too few titles and ranking spots, is a new title, but a different one. Not some bollocks like a global title or a European title, so like a prop by any other name. Like, this actually is a unique title that will yield great matches, that will make use of this bloated roster that's kind of spooling outwards to the detriment of the company. The trios title, in my opinion, is the way forward.
I think it's a great shout. And, you know, people will say, well, why can you do this with just tag teams doing singles matches or singles people doing tag matches? You want to get someone like Jade Cargill more reps on TV, or you want to get, you know, they're great. I still really enjoy watching them. I'm not saying that they're green or too green, certainly. You want to get more Varsity Blondes on TV. Just have Varsity Blondes tag with someone in a trios match. They can lose as much as you want there, and they're still kept up in the tag rankings. And Jade Cargill can have 20 matches as part of various trios or tags. Win, lose, do whatever you want, but she's still got that perfect record if you want to book it that way as a singles wrestler. I think it's genius. I think it's the right way to do it. The only addition I would add is something that you were talking about earlier. Tony, mate, look, you know, you've got the football links as well. You watch Sky Sports News just like the rest of us. The ticker at the bottom, ain't nobody paying attention to that, okay? When big news happens, they don't stick it at the bottom. They go, oh, bloody hell, breaking news. Mourinho's gone, whatever. So just as a little add-on to what you were saying, as a one-minute, two-minute package as part of Dynamite each week, right? Instead of Tony Schiavone, great. You've got The Big Show. You've got Mark Henry. Have them, akin to what Taz does sometimes in terms of analysing opponents, have them go, bloody hell, you've got to see this, see what happened this week on Dark or Dark Elevation or Rampage or whatever it is. Look at this. This was a match between two guys that don't really get a lot of exposure on Dynamite. here's what happened midway through the match, clip, here's what happened at the finish, win. That's the way to do it, isn't it? In terms of, I just want a minute or two, because I, you know, we cover wrestling as part of our job, and I don't have time or the inclination to go and spend another hour of my life watching Dark or Dark Elevation. Rampage is a different kettle of fish. That's akin to what SmackDown was originally when Raw was there. But yeah, you just for the, you know, not even casual, just less hardcore than the most hardcore fans, just to keep them in the loop, innit?
I think that's a fabulous idea, not least because you've got Mark Henry and Big Show, Paul White there, and the greatest film in the world, not everyone watches AEW Dark Elevation every week. I tend to sample it with guys that I'm invested in, with matches that I get buzz about. Like, I just don't have the time to watch it in bulk every single week. So Paul White, realistically, is... I don't want to say he's shouting into the void, because the most hardcore of hardcore AEW fans do consume readily this product and love it. But you're not making best use of a guy who's probably on a wedge. He's probably getting paid loads of money. Mm. Your idea is perfect, Wilborn, because he's got an authority. Mm. That's what he's there for. So when you have Paul White saying, look at this guy on Dark, he's impressed me, he looks great, instantly there's a bridge from your Dynamite exclusive viewers to the Dark show that is canonical and is meant to inform the ranking system. Paul White should be there to act as a bridge to say, check this out, this is great on Dark. And even if you don't have the time then subsequently to watch Dark, you've at least heard about it.
Mm.
It at least counts, because it does count, but it also doesn't count. I think that's spot on. They're analysts, so that's what they should be doing.
Tony Khan now writing in his notebook, the top of there, sign Booker T so we can do his fave five from Dark this week.
Yes!
Five
is the change every week. It was his fave 15. There was so many people on it.
Genuinely, Jerry Lawler has less picks in the Rumble than Booker T has in his fave five.
Yeah.
Every single person comes out in the Rumble. But yes, there isn't. It's not. Calm down, everyone. It's not broken. It just needs. What was it? Tightening the screws. That's what Mark Henry literally said when he came into AEW the other week. That's exactly what we've done here with the ratings. Rankings problem. Let us know your thoughts on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Watch so you can follow both of us. You can follow Michael Sidgwick at...
Really enjoyed this discussion. Please take it in good faith, everybody, at M Sidgwick.
Me too. You can follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE, as I said. Make sure you subscribe to WhatCulture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts. Myself and Sidgwick will be back tomorrow, of course, reviewing Dynamite from Friday, which is later on today for us, but when this goes out, it's all very confusing. But yes, we will be here to review Dynamite tomorrow. Make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling so you get that one as soon as it comes out. But for now, this has been Get a Table. My thanks to Michael Sidgwick. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.